Blessed Hashem Yisbaruch, we begin Perek Asiri, the 10th chapter in the Rambam Sicha Shavuos and the Laws of Oaths in the Seva Flow, which we continue the theme of the previous Perek regarding Shavuos Eidus, the liability that if witnesses swear falsely that they don't have testimony when they really do have. In this Perek, the Rambam discussed regarding an oath that wouldn't obligate monetary payment even if they would say their testimony, and thus regarding their exemption from swearing falsely. As Rambam begins Halacha Alf regarding witnesses that are not permitted to say testimony. Let's say his witnesses, or even one of them, which that would already tear apart the testimony, which needs two witnesses. If one of them or both of them were puzzled, were invalid to testify, for example, a thief who was biblically prohibited to say testimony, a karav or a relative, which is also invalid for witnesses, and even only rabbinic invalidations, where he violated a sin, which is only rabbinically a problem, let's say one of his witnesses was a king, who where the king's not permitted to say testimony. In general, that's halacha, a king cannot. Or let's say it was only secondhand testimony, where the witness is heard from another witness. And regarding anyone in these cases, we just described Bukhafra bin Ishbu, and they deny knowing any testimony, and they swear to that effect. And then it turns out they admit that they really did know testimony. Peturim Mishwas Aegis, they're exempt from the liability of swearing falsely regarding not knowing testimony. And the reason is She'ilu, if the gear says Haidu, Heidu, even if they would admit and they would say testimony initially, Lohay Machaiv, and they do some and they wouldn't obligate with their testimony monies at all, because as we said, they're either Pasal or Karav, whatever it is, or a king who cannot testify anyway. And the Torah says, Im lo yagid benasa avaynay, meaning in a situation where you could be Yagid and your testimony would have significant relevance, and you're not, then that denial will make you liable. But here, where you can't say testimony anyways to obligate the monies, therefore, they're not liable for the halacha of Shavuos Eidus. Halacha Beis, similarly here the Rambam discussed regarding other testimonies which would not obligate, although they are valid testimony, would not obligate monies, which is another prerequisite. Mashbi'an Ya'alechem. Let's say the claimant says to the witnesses that I'm taking an oath on you, you should come and testify for me, that guy had said, that he's going to give me 200 zuz. You guys overheard, he said he's promised me he's going to give me, but he didn't give. For Kafir, the witnesses deny, we don't know anything of this. And then it turns out that they were lying. They're exempt from the Shavuos Eidus. Why? Even though had they testified that, we overheard this guy telling him that he's going to give him 200 zuz, the defendant would not have been obligated to give monies regarding the words that they had said, because he could have said, I changed my mind, whatever it is, but the fact that he had said that he's going to give doesn't obligate him. And is there anything like this where, even though they would testify, would not bring to a monetary obligation, would not, by their denial and swearing to that effect, make them chayiv for the Shavuos Eidus? Similarly, halacha gimel, tvom lahoyit lo yishu koin a levi. Let's say he's claiming them to testify that you guys know that I'm a koin or a levi, or she'ena ben grusha ben chalutza, or that he's a koin but he's not the son of a divorcee, or that of the son who had married a chalutza, which would make him into chal. I want you guys to swear, you guys know this. V'kafir v'nishbu, I mean to testify. V'kafir v'nishbu, and they deny knowing, we don't know, and they swear to that effect. Here also, b'tumah shavuos eidus, they're exempt from the shavuos eidus, she'en kan eidus mamon. Although here there is a valid, there could have been a valid testimony, which is important in the court of law to know if it's a kain or not, but it's not regarding monetary law, and this whole halacha of lo yagid is regarding monetary obligations. Halacha dalet. Now, even a bigger chiddush, as we keep on growing, either they're not witnesses, or even if they're witnesses, but not regarding monetary law, here we're going to say that they are witnesses, and it's regarding monetary law, but still it's not going to bring to a monetary payment, and hence, no obligation for Shavuos Eidus. Because Tavayim She'idulai, let's say he's claiming that they should testify for him, his son injured him, and his son, who's a separate person, is obligated to pay for those damages. Or for Shidlik playing the Gedisha B'Shabbos. Or let's say he wants them to testify that guy lit up his granary on Shabbos to pay for all the damages that he had. Or Vishan is plainly a pita bita hamarasa, or that person raped or seduced his daughter that was engaged to be liable for the damages that he imposed on her. V'kafru b'nishbu, and they deny and they swear to that effect. P'tur m'shavuos eidus, they're exempt m'shavuos eidus. Why? She'me'idu eidus, because if they, even had they testified this testimony, yischayv hanitva misis bazdin, the one that is the defendant, he actually would have been liable for corporal punishment. Chil Shabbos, or regarding Kaznai Marasam, whatever the situation was, the case that we described, he's actually liable for a death penalty. and therefore in the chayiv tashlumin. He's not obligated in monetary payments, kamishban hilchas naira, like we explained in the halachas of naira and perakal halacha yud, where the halacha is kim lebedirabmane, we give him the greater punishment, and therefore it's not going to bring to a monetary payment. Is there anything that's similar to this, where even if it is a testimony and that of monetary relevance, but it's not going to actually bring to a monetary payment, will not make the witnesses liable if they swear falsely for the Shavuos Eidos. Halacha hey, hayu eid echad v'kafa v'shbir. Let's say he was demanding of a singular witness, and that person denied and he swore to that effect. He also patur m'Shavuos Eidos, even if it was regarding a regular monetary claim, he'd be exempt from the obligations of Shavuos Eidos. She'ein eidus eid echad mechayevus mamon, because the testimony of one witness never obligates monies. All it does is obligate that of an oath. Now, although it could cause a monetary payment, where if, let's say, the defendant doesn't want to swear, he's going to have to pay, but that's only considered at the most a davar grim l'mamon, and because, as Ram is going to shortly say, that it's possible that he will swear and he won't pay. So because of that, that's not as if he would have obligated a monetary payment by his testimony, and therefore, if he denies and he swears falsely, nak mechai v'shavuos eidos. Halacha vav. Let's say he petitions from his two witnesses to testify of him that his wife was Mazana, that she went and she had an adulterous relationship. And they deny and they swear to that effect and turns out they were lying. Here they're going to be obligated in the Shavuos Eidos. And the reason for that is, had they testified, they would have caused her a loss in her dowry, in her ksuba, because the halacha is that if she's mezana, she doesn't deserve her ksuba, and v'yifotezeh shetvam, and the one who's claiming from them would have been exempt because he doesn't have to give it to her. Now recover at this moment. Therefore, they're denying regarding monetary testimony, and because of that, they are chayiv b'shavuos eidos. And even though that the woman would be chayiv misa, and one should say kim l'rabbanei regarding this noz. But that's not something that they're, you don't say kum l'rabbanei over there. That's not making her obligated anything. It's not like, oh, there's this payment and there's this death penalty. She's not paying anything. It's just what she shouldn't get. And the husband would not have to give it, even though she's getting the death penalty. And therefore, by not testifying and swearing to that effect, they are causing a monetary loss, and hence they would be chayv in this case regarding the Shavuos Eidos. Halacha zayin, tava edei kinui. Related to his wife being mezana, the halacha of a saita. If, let's say, he petitions from the witnesses who were there when he had warned his wife, don't seclude with that man. Oy edei stira, or, which is phase two, or the witnesses that had saw that she secluded herself with that man that he had warned her not to seclude with, and v'kafa v'nishbu, if either one of these witnesses deny and they swear falsely, patur m'shavuos eidos, exempt m'shavuos eidos. Because she'ilu edu, even had they testified, yeah, we were there when he had warned, or we were there when she secluded, ain't chiv mamakan, there's no monetary liability over here. The only thing kinyan stira brings is to make her drink, to cite the waters, to inspect her, to see if she's mezana or not. Now, this is what we had alluded to before in the previous halacha. Although this testimony could cause her to lose her ksuba, if she's not going to drink. So wait, it is a monetary testimony that they're not saying and swearing to that effect. No, something that will only be a causation for a monetary loss is not considered like monies, and the reason for that is because it's not a direct cause, it's not even definite. It's possible that she will drink the waters, yeah, had they testified that she was secluded and that she was found to be secluded, meaning and the warning and the seclusion, and turns out if she will drink, then that she was tar. And it's not going to cause her to lose and break her ksuba. So because that it's not definite, it's not direct, therefore it's not considered as a testimony regarding Eid Shabbamon. Halacha Ches, the Rambam continues regarding when there could be a situation that even though it's Eid Echad, he will be able to obligate monies, and therefore if he swears to that effect and in denial, actually would be Chayef Shavuos Eidos. As Rambam says, Harisha Kinu Le'ishtoi, continuing on the theme of the previous Halacha, if someone warned to his wife, V'nistra Be'edim, and she was secluded with witnesses, V'zantza Be'ed Echad Achar Kinu Bastira, and then she was mezana in front of one witness, after we already verified that she was warned, and after we verified that she had secluded. So the husband makes an oath on that witness to come and testify. He's the final third stage of the link of making his wife forbidden to him. The kafir, and he denies knowing anything. He's liable for Shavuos Eidos, because even though he's a singular witness, Ilu hei edizu, had he testified this testimony, haisi yetzim l'ksuba. As we said in the prior halacha, halacha above, she would have to leave it out of ksuba. Kumesh ra'an v'chal said, like we explained, hilchal said, paragraph, halacha yedalad. Because since here, although generally one witness is not valid, but it's specific in the halacha of Saita, the pasuk tells us, ve'eid ein ba'behila netfasa. If you have kinoi and stira with valid witnesses, this reglaim l'david is already indicating factors that she probably was mezana, and therefore we believe this one witness who says she was metame, and therefore by not saying it, he's causing a loss to the husband regarding that he has to still pay the ksuba, and therefore he would be chayav shavus eidus. Halacha tes, v'chein, kol eid echad shemechayav mamon beidusis. So to any time that you could have a possibility of a singular witness who would obligate money with his testimony, if he denies and he swears to that effect, or the courts made him swear and he denies, there also is going to be a liability of Shavu Seidus, which Ram Haloch Yud continues case. How so? I thought only two witnesses could obligate monies, and only a single witness could only obligate both. So he says, for example, if both the claimant and the defendant were chashud and ala shvua, both were suspect regarding oath, we don't trust either one of them to swear truthfully. With Allah Shayma being nice, that we don't have them take the oaths. Now, now the case was both parties, we don't let them swear. Now, this claimant made the singular witness to swear to testify that guy has 100 dinar of his. For cover, and he denies, although he really knows that he owes the monies. In this case, that eid echad would be chayim for shavus eidus. Why? Because she'ilu heyud, had that one witness testified, the halacha would be, you're right, not a monetary obligation. Although it obligates only testimony, what happens is that actually the defendant would ultimately, in a direct way, have to pay monies with that one witness's testimony. The Rambam explains over there that the takanzcham was that whoever is obligated in the shvuah, if he's suspect, so what we do is we have the claimant rabbinically swear, and he's what's called nishba benaitli, swears and he takes. The problem is if both are suspect, then the shvuah goes back to its rightful place, which is the defendant. But what's called mitich she'en yechli shavim isham, since he can't swear, he has to pay. So it's a direct thing. Both are suspect. So if you know that if you would testify, it would cause a monetary obligation. Not like, oh, it's garim l'mamon, we're not sure, maybe the person would swear, or whatever, might not come. Here we know for sure, because the halacha is that both can't swear. Is anything that's similar to this, where even though it's one witness, if you know it would cause a monetary obligation, and he doesn't, and he swears falsely, he's chayef ha-shavus eidus. Halacha yidalf, ha-isha sheshbiya eid echad, sheyod lo b'misiz bala. Continue on regarding a singular witness. If a woman makes a singular witness swear that to testify that her husband died, but Kavani denies it, he also chayav shavus eidus. He's going to be chayav shavus eidus. Why? It's only eid echad. Because she'ilu heyed has had he testified, he said nisus, she would be able to get married, which that was mishum igun akilah b'rabbanan. A woman's allowed to get married based on the single witness. Now, because she gets married, the halacha is going to tell us ksubasa. She takes the ksuba from her husband's inheritors, because the halacha is, and this is inherent in the wording of the ksuba, that if she could get remarried, she also collects the ksuba. So therefore, by him denying this, he's denying her monetary gains, and hence it's considered valid for the obligations of the Shavuos Eidus. Now, halachit beis b'medim, when do we say this, that if the witness denies knowing regarding the husband's death, that he caused a loss to the woman's ksuba, and therefore he's chayav Shavuos Eidus, is only k'shehoyu l'ligvot ksubasa min ha'matalin, if the woman would have been able to collect her ksuba, her dowry, from movable items. Now, that would be specifically in the case where what's called tafsa, where she already had grabbed the movable items when her husband was still alive, and she was holding on to them. Now, had he testified for her, she would have been allowed to hold on to her that payments for her ksuba, because if she had not taken the movable items when the husband was still alive, the movable items is that by the yisayim are not, there's no lien on it for the ksuba, according to basic Talmudic law, and therefore grabbing it wouldn't be effective. But again, if she'd be able to collect it because she really was holding on to these metalmen, that's where we said that it would cause her a loss of not being able to hold on to it for a ksuba, because he didn't testify that the husband died. But as in a normal case, but let's say the only thing she collects from is from real estate, which that there is a lien on from her ksuba, then actually the eid echad would be exempt from the shavuos eidus, because the shavuos eidus does not apply by testimony regarding karka, regarding real estate. And so too, even if there was two witnesses, And the reason is shemesh be ede karka patur, because if someone makes an oath on witnesses regarding real estate, those witnesses are exempt. Kabish Ran, like we explained in Perek Tes Halacha Gimel, that the halacha does not apply. The Torah tells us there's no obligation in regarding eder shebekarka. Halacha Gimel, the Rambam continues regarding testimonies that are not integral, and hence the Oso doesn't have this obligation. Hishbiya Edev Bevezden. Let's say he made his witnesses swear in the court. Now, Bekafer Shneim Ka'achas. And both of them denied at the same time. Kugain, for example, what does it mean the same time? Shehizchel Hasheni Lichver, the second one started denying, but Techkedei Dibur Shalchaver, within the amount of time, that a few seconds of Shalom Alecha Rabbi, the amount of time it takes to person to finish his speech, that the other person already started denying. So Shneim Chayav Meshvuz Eidus, both of them are liable for Shvuz Eidus, because both of them are, at the same time, the two witnesses, which could have been obligated monies, and they're denying it. And therefore, each and every witness has to bring his karban chatzis, which is a karban ayil b'yared, as we said in Perek Av Alochi Yedbeis, which is this liability regarding shavuos eidus. But let's say kafar region. Let's say the first witness he first denies. V'shoh ha'eda sheni yosimich leidib, and the second witness waited those few seconds, those few moments that it takes to say the phrase shalom alecha rabbi. He delays. V'achar kafar, and only let's say a minute later he goes and he denies. He says, "Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know." Then only the first witness will be liable for the Shavuos Eidus. The second one's going to be exempt from Shavuos Eidus. And the reason for that is, because even had the second witness admitted now, at this point, his testimony would not have obligated monies, because at right now, at this point, he's a singular witness. And a single witness cannot obligate money, because that other witness already a minute ago, or 30 seconds ago, whatever, he already denied knowing. So he's out of the picture. It's just me. So even if I admitted, I still would not have obligated monies, and if I deny, also, it's not going to be chayiv for the Shavuos Eidus. Now, Alach Edal, let's say hoyde echad v'kafer echad. Let's say one admitted and one denied. So, hakoyf for chayiv. So, the one who's denying is going to be chayiv. Bein shekafer b'tchila bein shekafer b'seib, whether he's denying first or he's denying last, because the one who's admitting is ready there to testify. If he wouldn't have denied, together they would have been able to obligate monies. Now, kafer shneim ke'echad, let's say they both deny at the same time, which we said, okay, they're both going to be chayiv. But v'kadam ha'echad v'haydi b'techid yedib. Then one of them went, and within the time frame where he didn't finish his statement, those few seconds which are still connected to your prior statement, one of them went and he admitted. He says, no, that's not true. I really do know testimony. So he's a pater. He's exempt because he was able to still back out. He didn't finish his paragraph. And v'haydi b'kfir asich, chayiv b'shavuos eidus. But the one who maintains his denial, he'll be chayiv b'shavuos eidus, because again, if he would have admitted together with the other one, then they would have together been able to obligate the monetary obligation, and by denying his chayv shavuos eidus. And Halacha Tesvav, the Ram continues with a similar theme regarding if it's not integral on you, so then that's not going to make you obligated in your shavuos eidus. As Ram says, hishbiya shtei kiti eidim. If let's say he actually takes an oath to require them to say testimony on two different pairs of witnesses, four people, two and two, and both groups of witnesses actually fit to say testimony. Now, recover Kadrashayim. The first group of witnesses, they deny that they know anything, even though they really do know. And then the second group of witnesses, they deny. So the first group of witnesses are actually exempt from Shavuos Eidus. Why? Because they're relying on the second group of witnesses. Meaning, the claimant could still extract his monies from that other person with the testimony of the second group of witnesses. So the nimtzeh comes out, zeh nitva, this defendant, it's not only this set of witnesses that would be the only medium for the claimant to be able to collect his money from that defendant. And because of that, as the Rambam explained in the first halach of the previous parak, that would not obligate the Shavuos Eidus. The Shavuos Eidus is when you're the only medium for this guy to get his money. And because you're not testifying, he's losing. It's not true. Here, even if they don't say the truth, he can still get with the second pair of witnesses, hence the first group is exempt. Now, in contrast to the second pair, where they're the only pair left. Now, says the Ram, let's say the second group of witnesses, craven letaveya or lenitva b'nishasem. They were relatives, either to the claimant or the defendant, through marriage, meaning with their wives. Their wives were sisters. Now, but varein goises, but the wives are in the throes of death. So, but still says the Rambam, in that situation, afar shrein chayevis. In this situation, also the first group of witnesses would be obligated in the Shavuos Eidos. Why? Sharishniya Be'ez Kefiris Rishayna, because ultimately in this case, the second group of witnesses, when the first group was denying, Lahaisaru Lahaidu, they were not fit to say testimony. Meaning, the Rambam saying a chiddush in a chiddush, meaning he's saying that generally, when you have two sets of witnesses, the first group is exempt because he could get with the second pair. But now he's saying, but let's say the second pair actually was not valid to say testimony. Even though, as the Rambam says, V'avapisha b'meheira you ruin. Even though, shortly, the second pair of witnesses will be fit to say testimony. Kishimus e'la goises. When their wives, who make them related through marriage, when they're in the throes of death, they're literally about to die. When they're going to die, they're not going to be related. And then they would be able to say testimony. Still, right now they can't. So the first pair of witnesses, right now, their denial is voiding his ability to get money. And therefore, the first pair of witnesses will be chayv shvus eidus. Now, if the second group of witnesses, if they deny after their wives passed away, oh, then chayav mishavos eidus, then they will be liable for shavos eidus, which obviously we're talking about where when they saw the testimony, they were, let's say, single, not married yet. So then when you start off the testimony, which is when you saw it, and the end, when you're saying it, are all valid. So even though in the middle sometime they were married, that would still be a valid testimony, and then by their denial, they would be chayav. So there was a few parts in this halacha. When there's two pairs, the first one's exempt, but if let's say the second one's not valid because they're related, then the first one is obligated. But then when the second one's relatives die and then they are valid, then they also could be chayiv because then they're all the only ones left to then also their denial by voiding his ability to get the monies and thus chayiv b'shuas eidus. Halacha designed, Rambam continues regarding the oaths that could retroactively in some way be obligations. If let's say someone claims for witnesses to testify for him, and they deny it, vishbim makes them swear, and they say yes, we're accepting that oath. Vishbim arba b'chamish pamim, and they swear four or five times. And they answer yes, yes, yes for all the oaths after everyone that was said on them out of the courts. Now kshabo lebezdin. But when they finally come to court, guess what? They admit and they say testimony. This commission, like we explained in Perek Tes Halacha Beis, where we said that the denial has to be in court. Like it says, "Lo yagid." There has to be a place where, if you wanted, you could be yagid, but it's only in court. Since here, all the denial, all the shvuos were and the denials were out of court, so it has no relevancy. Now, vimbol bezin v'am bikrasim. Let's say they come to court and they maintain their denial. Then they're actually going to be liable for each and every oath that they took out of the court because the denial is focused towards the oath that they already taken. So the denial has to be in court, and that's in court. And the oaths, each one now is being strengthened by that denial. He's chai for each and every one of those shavuos of the shavuos seidus. Now, remember, when do we say this, that if he makes them swear out of the court, they could be chai of a carbon for each and every one, as long as there's a denial in court, is b'shanu amen. If they answered the word amen, when he says, and you're going to swear there, and they say, amen, amen. But they didn't answer, amen. Rather, they just denied at every single oath. They said, we don't know any testimony, we don't know, but they never accepted the actual oath. So since they themselves did not enunciate an oath, neither did they answer, amen, which is an acceptance of the oath, they're going to be exempt from the shvuos eidus achish bein bevezin until they make them swear in the courts, v'yichvur b'yisham, and then they deny it. Like we had explained, in Perek Tes Halacha Aleph and Halacha Yud. Halacha Yud Ches, Hishbim Bevezdin. Let's say they made them take an oath in the courts. Bekafer when they deny that they know testimony. V'chaz v'shbim amr v'chamish b'am, and then they continue to make them take an oath four or five times. V'im kreif me'kol ha'chamach v'chamach, and they deny each and every one. So bein chutz lebezdin, bein mifnei bezdin, whether this is out of the court or in the court, v'falon amin, even if they said amin. Nishbim bezdin, even if they're saying the oath, I swear, and they kept on saying, pam akapam, time after time. In contrast to the case before, which that's the unique thing about that case, if you're doing it out of the court, one, two, three, four, five, and then you come in with your one denial, it thus activates all those shvuas, you can be chayav five. In contrast, here in this case, if you're swearing in the court, on his own initiative, only going to be liable for one liability of shvuas eidus. Why? Shouldn't he be more severe in the court itself and he's saying it by himself? No, but for simple reason. Because once he denied in court knowing testimony, and these are witnesses testifying, we don't know testimony, if they would subsequently go ahead and admit, which is the whole purpose of making more obligations, because you could still admit, and each one is a denial, But in this case, if they admit in the court, ain't they do some ayelus klum? Their subsequent testimony, even if they want to admit, would not be effective at all, because what's called kimet shehegut shubein lechazam agad. Once they already testified that we don't know testimony, they can't go back, and then we say testimony, so the denial is not a removal of an ability to claim money, because they wouldn't be able to go ahead and testify for the guy to get his money anyway. So halachi test nimtzis lamed comes out that you learn shakal shvuish and ishbu acha shakav bebeznin. Any oath that he's swearing after really he made a denial in the court of knowing any testimony, so that's a denial of testimony which would not have to give money anyway, like we said, because even if he would testify, it wouldn't be accepted. So shame to malam shvuz edus. Obviously, they're exempt from shvuz edus, which is only if you can give money, and they can't. But v'chayav shvuz bitui, but they're still going to be liable for an oath of utterances because they're swearing falsely. Like we explained in Perek Tes, halachi adalta.